This morning I'd like to ask Haley and Jalen to come on up. I gave them a little warning I was going to call them up this morning. These two teens had an experience I want them to talk to you a little bit about in light of the Christmas season they're in. One of their school projects they did recently was they each had to take a baby home. And this wasn't a live baby, but it had a lot of the same complications, let's say, or a lot of the same work that had to be done. The baby's programmed with a sensor, and so anytime they were away from the baby would know that and probably wake up and start crying. The baby also needed to have things done with it, like having to be fed and having to be changed and having to be held the right way and all of those sorts of things, right? And so I told them I was going to ask them a few questions about that, and any of those things could happen anytime, right? They could happen in the day. They could happen in the middle of the night multiple times. They could happen when you're going somewhere, when you're out and about. It could happen at any time, right? So the first question was, what was the most challenging part of having that baby for several nights?
So I would say not getting to sleep at all. And when the baby would cry, you'd go back to bed. And as soon as you'd get comfortable and try to go back to sleep, it would start crying again. So sleep was a big thing. And yeah, having to deal with dragging it everywhere. Mom had to help me do chores because I couldn't take the baby outside in the barn. So there's just some things I couldn't do because I had to have the baby with me.
Mm-hmm. Mine was definitely sleep. And I had to take the baby to practice, and it would start crying while we were practicing, so I had to run over and take care of it.
Okay. So what was the most surprising thing that happened while you were watching the baby?
That one, I'd say, was sleep, not getting sleep at all. yes. Another thing would probably be that it would cry and you had no idea it was going to cry, and then it would be quiet and you would think that it would cry, but it just didn't do anything. So not knowing when it was going to do something or need something.
Mm-hmm. Mine just started like randomly crying and I didn't know what it wanted, and it just cried for a couple minutes straight, which was great.
Mm-hmm. It was great. I like that. It was great. So did people look at you differently when you were carrying the baby around?
Some did. The night I had it, we had the trunk or treat, and we actually had a couple people go by and say, oh, good luck. I had to take that last week for my class at school. Mm-hmm. So some people knew. Others looked at me weird because they're thinking, why are you carrying a doll around that cries and it needs to be taken care of? So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that many that looked at me funny.
Okay. How would it change your life if you had to do this project, not just for a couple days, but for a week or a month or 18 years?
It would be difficult because the babies weren't real, obviously, and they were hard to comfort. They would not, you could talk to it, but it wouldn't change anything. It'd still just cry. Mm-hmm. And having to carry it around and do things with it, you'd have to adjust, but you also couldn't have the baby that far away from you, so that'd be mm-hmm. difficult.
I'm going to have to say the same things as Haley. It would just be difficult to take care of it and not, like, be able to comfort it because it's not a real baby.
All right. We're good. Thank you, ladies. This morning we're going to be talking about Mary and Joseph. Mary got the news from the Holy Spirit. We'll read the passage this morning, but that she was going to have a baby. She may not have been much older than the two young ladies that were just up on stage. Might have been even younger. But she was going to have the responsibility to care for a baby. We don't know a lot about Mary. She was pledged, or the Bible, some versions say betrothed, to a man named Joseph. The story is familiar. If you added up all of the times that each of us had heard the story, it's probably multiple times each Christmas. It would probably be in the thousands. And maybe the tens of thousands if you added up all the times we heard the story. It's familiar. Mary's a virgin. She's pledged to be married to Joseph. The angel tells her she'll give birth to a son. Joseph wants to divorce her quietly, but an angel appears to him as well. He takes Mary as his wife, and they travel to Bethlehem, and while she's there, she gives birth to a son, and she lays him in the manger. It's such a familiar story. We can miss the wonder and the amazement of the story because of its familiarity. The series we're going through this Christmas is called Following. The first week we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, how they were following God. And God, even in their old age, decided to bless them with the birth of a son. And his name should be called John. He was John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. This week, Mary and Joseph are going to be in our spotlight this morning. And our first text is in Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I encourage you to open your Bible as we'll be going through this passage. Verse 26 says this, in the sixth month, well, what's the sixth month of what? In the sixth month, well, right before this, I told you we were talking about the birth of John the Baptist being foretold. It's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, who had appeared to Zechariah in the temple, Gabriel, who we know from the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel, who appeared to Daniel, Gabriel, who tells us in the chapter, in the beginnings of chapter 1 here, that he stands, verse 19, I stand in the presence of God. If you read in the book of Revelation later, it talks about some of the angels who stand in the presence of God. An interesting picture, and it's no wonder that Zechariah is in fear, that Mary is trying to figure out what's going on. Gabriel is sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Nazareth. Little itty bitty Nazareth. Little itty bitty Nazareth that maybe had a dozen people. Maybe had two dozen people. They probably knew each other. It's a small, small town. The angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. You found favor with God. Gabriel calls her the favored one. He says, you have found favor with God. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and out of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? The angel, Gabriel, answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed her. The angel says, "You're going to have a son. You shall name him Jesus." Jesus was the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. Yeshua. It means God is salvation. God is salvation. The angel describes who Jesus is and who he will be. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The angel tells Mary, "You're going to go give birth to a son." No pressure. "He'll be called the Son of the Most High." In other words, the Son of God. No pressure. "He's going to reign over the throne of David and the house of Jacob." No pressure. In short, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, the one your people have been waiting for generations and generations and generations. No pressure. Mary's response, verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let that sink in a minute. Here is a teen girl with hopes and dreams. She was pledged to marry Joseph. Hopes and dreams of what her future might look like. She was preparing for marriage. That meant that she was learning to do a lot of the tasks in the household of what her responsibilities would be. Maybe not thinking about children right away, but obviously they would maybe have kids someday. The Bible tells us they were pledged to be married. They were betrothed to each other. That basically was the same as marriage. They just weren't living together. They were pledged to each other. The only way to separate that was actually through a divorce. That's how serious that covenant or that commitment was. The angel comes to her. He brings a message from God, and he says, "Your plans might have to look a little bit different. What you thought your life was going to be like maybe isn't going to look like that now." The angel disappears. The angel departed from her. Can't imagine what was going through her mind at that point. What about my parents? How am I going to tell my mom and dad? Joseph, I'm pledged to be married to him. How do I tell Joseph what has just happened to me? Can't help but think that fear and anxiety begin to tear knots in her stomach. She tries to figure out how she's going to tell them, what words she's going to use, what will the response of her friends be. It's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. When we moved here, people knew who I was before I knew who they were. "Oh, you're the new pastor in town." Everybody knows everybody. Well, everybody knew Mary. All of a sudden, they were going to know about what was going on with her. And yet, her response is one of submission, one of humility. "I'm the servant of the Lord," she says. can't help but imagine what Mary taught Jesus. She was the mother of the Son of the Most High, but yet she still taught him. She was a servant of the Lord, teaching Jesus how to serve God. Who better to tell Jesus about giving your life over in submission to God than Mary, who said, "I am the servant of the Lord." Jesus was being tempted by Satan later in his life. What did he say? "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Only serve God alone. Where did he learn that? Can't help but think maybe his mother taught him that verse from Deuteronomy 6:13. They didn't have Bible memory. I really appreciate Bible memory and what you guys do to help our students learn the Bible, but they passed it down, parents to children. I can't help but wonder who, maybe his mother taught him that verse about serving God, serving it, him alone. Later in the book of Mark, chapter 10, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? To serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many." Not only that, but the book of John gives us a picture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. An act of service. Telling us that we also need to serve one another. Giving us an example of how we should do that. I think Mary's servant heart was an example to Jesus. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." And that's how she raised him up. Well, what does it look like to follow God? It looks like being a servant. Looks like serving God, serving one another. Someone who has a servant's heart is characterized by love. Characterized by humility. Characterized by selflessness. Characterized by submission. So ask yourself this question this morning. Am I willing to give up my dreams for God's plans? Mary had hopes and dreams. We're not told what those are, but we all grow up thinking about what you're going to be when you get older, right? Ask my daughter, ask Ellie. I can't name all of the things she wants to be, but a princess, ballerina, unicorn, something, fairy, mermaid. I don't know how she wraps all those into one. But she wants to be those things. Now, some of those things are not possible for her to be, but in her head, she has hopes and dreams for the future. And as you get older, your dreams develop. Ask a little boy what he wants to be. "I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a..." Name whatever it is, but there's lots of things. Am I willing to give up my dreams, my hopes, my plans for God's plans? The second passage we're going to look at this morning is in the book of Matthew. It's Joseph's story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Matthew just gives us basically everything we just read in one verse. He tells us the story of Mary, but just shortens it. "And her husband Joseph, being a just man..." being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. I told you the betrothal period was a one-year period, and that was basically like marriage. They were both preparing for the wedding ceremony. Joseph, as the man, was preparing the house. He was a carpenter, I can't help but think. He was probably adding on. Mary, as I told you, was getting ready, learning how to do the things that she would now be responsible for as the young bride. What are some of Joseph's favorite things he likes to eat? How can I learn to cook those for him? But Joseph, the Bible says, was a just man. He didn't want to put her to shame. What does that mean? It speaks of his character. He wanted to do what was right. But he loved Mary. It tells us of his love for her, because he could have said, she's pregnant now. He could have went into the temple courts and accused her. What was the punishment for that? It could be death. But the Bible says he was a just man. He wanted to do what was right, but he loved her, and he didn't want her to have to go through the ridicule. The Bible says the shame, or even possibly the death, because of what many would characterize as an illegitimate pregnancy. So in his mind, he resolved to divorce her quietly. But the Bible says in verse 20, but as he considered these things, you ever have something you're just mulling over in your mind? You're thinking about a lot. It's always there. You're trying to figure out, what should I do with this? How do I resolve this? The Bible says, as he was doing that, as he was considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The Bible doesn't tell us what angel it is, but it appears to him in a dream. It says, Joseph, son of David. It's important. His heritage is important. In the book of Matthew, we've just read through in chapter 1, we didn't read it this morning, but if you were to read through the beginning of chapter 1, you would have read about David, the heritage. Mary's heritage is important. Joseph's heritage is important. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. There it is again, Jesus, God is salvation. Jesus means God is salvation. He will save his people from their sins. All this took place, Matthew writes, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph did what the angel told him. Joseph obeyed the message that was sent through the angel. So what does a life that following God look like? It looks like obedience. Looks like being obedient. Submitting to authority. Joseph followed what God had told him to do. I believe that Jesus was both human and God. But in his humanity, I can't help but think that both Mary and Joseph taught him a lot growing up. I think this is might be one of those things, learning obedience and what it looks like John chapter 6, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, not to follow my own plans." Jesus is saying this, but to do the will of him who sent me, to do his heavenly Father's will. John chapter 14, later, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Being obedient to what Jesus called us to do. James, later in the New Testament, James, the brother of Jesus, probably learned some things from mom and dad too, maybe, said this, "Be doers of the word." Obeying the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. So deceiving yourselves. Mary and Joseph both chose to follow God's design for their lives through obedience. They chose to be servants of God, submitting, obeying his will, and being obedient to his plans. Am I willing to obey God even when it means sacrificing my plans? Serving God? What could God ask of you? Are you willing to give up your reputation for me? Are you willing to look a little crazy sometimes? Are you willing to give up your comfort for me? Oh, but I just want to be comfortable. Are you willing to let go of your property, your belongings for me? Are you willing to go to another city or country for me? Are you willing to lay aside your dreams and hopes to follow my plan? I think if you asked Mary and Joseph, they wouldn't have traded God's plan for anything. Was it hard? Yeah. The first month of their marriage, they have to pack up and move, go down to Egypt because Herod wants to kill all of the babies. So they pack everything up and they move, they trade. Little town of Nazareth, we're going to have to move until God tells them they're safe again and they can come back. They trade a lot of their hopes, their plans. Before the baby was even born, there's a census. You need to go to Bethlehem. Going to Bethlehem would be like, from Nazareth, would be like walking from here to the southern part of Chicago. Just give you a little perspective. It's not all even roads. Take them 3 or 4 days, possibly. A lot of the pictures depict her riding on a donkey. I've heard donkeys are not the easiest to get to move along, and so they probably didn't do that. She probably walked, 9 months pregnant, 20 miles a day, giving up her dreams, giving up her hopes, but following God. The Bible tells us, after the shepherds came, that Mary treasured up these things in her heart. She was remembering the things that God was putting into place. She was seeing the miracle it was for Jesus to be born, God's Son laying in a manger. But what could God ask of you? Let's pray this morning. Father, you gave up your Son, because you loved us. The Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, your Son died for us. Father, God, you ask us to do things sometimes. You ask us to live lives that serve you. You ask us to live lives that are obedient to you. You ask us to live lives that honor you. God, help us to do that. God, when you call us, when you ask us to step out of our comfort zone, when you ask us to put aside our plans, give us the strength, empower us through your Holy Spirit to do that. Help us not to use or put our own will in front of yours. But God, help us to follow you. Follow you all the days of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.